This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So this week, Chris O'Brien is back from his sabbatical, ready and raring to go. And our special guest is the one, the only, Micah Hanks, except no substitutes. Is there, Micah Hanks, another Micah Hanks in the world?
I'm sure there is another one out there someplace, but fortunately there aren't two of me, because if there were, that would be too much trouble for everybody, including yours truly.
There are a couple of Chris O'Briens out there. I know there are a number of Gene Steinbergs, and it's a big question whether they suffer from that or I suffer from that, and I know one or two are in radio. I think one's a station manager. So maybe, you know, he can send me his paychecks. That would certainly...
Are they tulpas? Are they doppelgangers? I mean, you've got to be the original Gene Steinberg, right?
Steinberg is not an unusual name. Its derivation is German. Gene or Eugene is certainly not unusual. You know, we've had some famous genes out there. We had one, for example, a famous cowboy star, Gene Autry, who was hugely wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a Gene Autry Park about 10 minutes from here. I don't know if his estate manages it. I don't know why we're talking about this. I think it's because we just wanted to catch up. We haven't talked to Micah for a long time. And there are a number of issues that have come up in our forums. And I wanted to acquaint him with one here. And it may sound to our listeners like it's a pitch, because we're pitching for the After the Paracast show, which is part of the Paracast Plus. It's one of the things you get exclusively. And last week, in response to a question from a regular episode from Lewis Sheehan, one of our regular listeners, we invited Paul Kimball to talk about his film from, 2005 called Best Evidence, Top 10 UFO Sightings. And the issue here is very simple. Looking back at those 10 cases, and the 10 best were not his 10 best, it was the people he talked to. But personally, he decided, looking at those 10 best, that maybe some of them don't really hold up so well after all these years. And if you really want to know more about that, and I'll make the pitch now, you have to listen to After the Paracast. It's part of the Paracast Plus. You go to plus.theparacast.com to learn subscription information. And we keep the prices low. So you get a commercial-free version of this show after the Paracast and other goodies. Plus.theparacast.com. Okay, so we've all read this. Go to our forums. And this is the main thread for last week's episode entitled Paracast Listener Grills Gene and Randall. Mostly he was grilling me on an open flame, I think. No, he was a pretty good guy, Lewis Sheehan. He is, however, someone who used to be a lawyer, so he knows how to ask questions. So we have a comment here from a guy who calls himself Greer's Meeting Planner. He lives in Sydney, Australia. And his first two paragraphs kind of begin to tell it all, and I'll read them for our listeners. After listening to the After the Paracast episode, a thought occurred to me, and it's a painful one. Is there actually nothing going on when it comes to UFOs? When I say nothing going on, I mean there is no evidence for visitation from non-human entities and physically, intelligently controlled craft. Why do I keep thinking this? And he goes on to state that a lot of the classic cases are not holding up so well. So, like Roswell doesn't hold up so well. Bentwaters has some question marks attached to it. He points out that everybody has a camera in their pocket. Pretty good cameras. I mean, if you got the top line Samsung Galaxies or the iPhones especially, both have marvelous cameras. Amazing cameras. And we're not seeing anything. And his final comment is, are we dealing with a psychological human condition phenomenon that is rooted in misidentification, malleable memory, the need for notoriety, charlatanism, imagination, ideology, and nothing perhaps to do with real alien visitors? And after that, he concludes, I want to believe, but I can't. So, Micah Hanks, you've got the framework for this discussion. Do you think that the possibility of the traditional belief about UFOs doesn't hold water anymore, because the more we learn about older cases, the less we're certain they're really compelling?
Well, I just have to say, first of all, it's a wonderfully framed series of questions. I'm appreciative to both of you, not only to be on, but also to be able to address that. You know, Greer's Meeting Planner, that's got to be one of the best online monikers I've ever come across, and he gets kudos.
Well, I wish he would stop with his everything that he doesn't like in life, he blames on liberals. And, you know, after you see this for the umpteenth time, it gets a little old. It is a funny name. The actual avatar has Greer dressed up with the makeup of the Joker and that crazy Keith Ledger version of the Joker in the Batman movie. So it's pretty funny. Green hair, white face.
The political baiting, I agree with you. But he's a smart guy.
Well, it drives me nuts. He does it just to tick people off. And I asked him in not very polite terms earlier to cease and desist with that. We bend over backwards to try to be as fair and balanced here as we can, and I'm seeing more and more people complaining that we're grouchy old men that are down on everything and everybody in ufology, and unfortunately that's not really the case. I thought I'd bring that up.
Well, that's a misconception, okay, about being grouchy and down on everything. Here are a few of the stigmatizations and the stereotypes that we've got to kind of remove. I do want to say, first and foremost, the avatar is funny, and I do like the name. And I mean no personal disdain to Stephen Greer in acknowledging that. I disagree with almost everything Stephen Greer does, but I'm not making a personal attack against him. To be skeptical and to ask hard questions is not to be grouchy or to have to use ad hominem to bring another person down emotionally or otherwise. You know, at some point, good skepticism all of a sudden turned into, well, we've also got to be mean to people, dismissive of people. We've got to attack their political views, their religious views, and maybe even go after their family members too. Look, guys, being on this show with you in the past, I've had the same thing happen. I've had people listen to things I've said about the UFO subject or other related material, and they have to say, well, you must be a conservative or you must be a liberal. They can't quite ever pin me down, but I'll give you a hint. Real helpful one. MiddleTheory.com is my political and news and current events podcast. The name says it all. I try not to play this game of polarization in politics, and really when I look at this kind of phenomena too, it's not that I'm trying to make everybody happy. I'm trying not to give myself to the polarized sort of ideology, the biases that fall on the extremes. If you kind of come to the center, and I think Paul Kimball, by the way, would certainly agree, you're going to find that people who have a somewhat centrist outlook on things in general are more likely to really see, I think, things for what they are, because they aren't given to biases. Now, when Greer's Meeting Planner says, I want to believe, but I can't, you know, it reminds me of something John Keel said years ago, belief is the enemy. And I'm sure the reason he said that is because, again, once you give yourself to a bias or a predisposed, what I like to call a prepackaged ideology, you know, you read what somebody else said and you say, oh, well, that's what I believe. No, you're not really thinking. You're not really putting your own intellect behind things. So, you know, these are some great questions that Greer's Meeting Planner makes here. And again, ladies and gentlemen listening at home, this is not actually Stephen Greer's Meeting Planner. Again, that's just the name used on the forums there. But with regard to the actual topics addressed here, I really actually agree with most of this. But there are definitely some caveats. So we'll go through a few of them in quick succession here. Again, what they bring to the table here is, I mean that they, and I'm quoting, there's no evidence for visitation from non-human entities in physically intelligently controlled craft. Well, again, this is a problem I began to see with UFOs years ago, and really my solution to this, although it's not really a solution, it's more a method of approaching UFOs in a way that addresses that problem. I make a big distinction between so-called alien encounters, abductions, all that kind of stuff, and then the physical craft which are studied, which we refer to as unidentified flying objects. And people are like, well, you can't separate those two because, I mean, they are absolutely connected, you know, at the hip. I mean, there's an umbilical cord that connects the UFOs to the alien subject. Well, not really. Think about all the nighttime encounters where people perceive that they have had a so-called UFO abduction, but they never describe seeing a craft. Think of the multitude more of UFO reports where we see an object in the sky. Where were the aliens?
With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters, starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available. Comfortable interiors and state-of-the-art air filtration systems. Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER now or visit atlassurvivalshelters.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, we're talking to Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report, and he takes, as he says, kind of a centrist view of politics, trying to find the good things of both sides. That used to be about politics, trying to find a common ground and compromise, but that's a dirty word far too often. That's not political. That's not conservative. That's not liberal. It's just we're trying to be reasonable. All right. The point that Micah Hanks was making there is we have UFO abductions, but we never see a UFO. We have lots of UFO sightings, but we don't always, very rarely, see entities or beings in and around them. Now, I don't know if you know this, Micah, our old friend Jerome Clark, his feeling is we're dealing with two separate sets of phenomena here.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That the abductions is something that's experienced and may have a cause, but maybe not necessarily a physical UFO. And then we have the UFO mystery. They're separate, and they're brought together maybe because people see what they see because of their cultural conditioning. They undergo this personal experience, and because they've been fed to believe it's the Star Trek universe, the Star Wars universe, it's communion, they see the gray aliens. But as we know, and Chris has pointed this out, and you have, maybe a few hundred years ago, they wouldn't see that. They'd see fairies and elves and leprechauns, right?
Most certainly. And Jacques Vallée very eloquently brought that to the table with his book, Dimensions. There were other related work, too, Passport to Magonia, where he talked about these kind of issues. In other words, the question might be, are the grays or the aliens of the modern era, an industrial society with all the technology at our disposal, is that a similar representation or a corollary to something that in pre-industrial times, or if not indeed pre-industrial times, at least several decades or centuries ago, we're looking at something that is, again, culturally the same, but interpretively different. And I think that that's a fair question that has to be raised. And again, you know, our paranormal adept from Australia, Greer's meeting planner there on the forums.theparacast.com, the question had been, is there no evidence for visitation from non-human entities and physically intelligently controlled craft? Well, I just have to say again, that question becomes more reasonable if you do as Jerry Clark has done and as I'm proposing. I mean, break those two things apart and don't insinuate a connection if indeed there's not good evidence of one. And it's a very good and a very reasonably worded quote. The classic cases for best evidence such as Roswell and Bentwaters are, as time progresses, losing more and more of their credibility. That's definitely been the case with Roswell. I know we don't say that word on this podcast anymore, especially after Kevin Randall's last appearance, but again, that seems to be through diligence and through good research and not just overt skepticism, although there have been a lot of good skeptics who have put a lot of good work behind this. Maybe there is less to Roswell today as seen versus, you know, again, in a pre-internet society when there was groundwork that had to be done, you know, pouring through archives and things like that. The internet has fundamentally changed the way that research is done. Bentwaters, we've seen a little of the same. We've seen, unfortunately, for certain individuals in the UFO community, the unraveling of certain narratives and thereby the authors being castigated for what they've written about that particular case. Does it necessarily mean that there was nothing that happened at Bentwaters? It doesn't necessarily mean that there was nothing that happened at Bentwaters. It does mean, though, that we are having to cast a critical eye, as we should, towards some of these classic UFO cases. The question of camera phones and low-price tech in relation to UFOs is one that has to be asked. Guys, there is more technology on the iPhone 6 or 7 than what sent us to the moon, which is incredible because people use that device and how relativity plays into all that. GPS coordinates and satellites and all this technology that works with making smartphones function and allows us to connect in a global community.
Let me just point out something here, too. There's an iPhone 8 now.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine, Daniel Aaron Dilger, wrote a piece reviewing it for AppleInsider.com. Anybody who's interested in maybe getting the iPhone 8, the newest model, what's in there, the technology is amazing. It's got machine learning. It's got advanced image processing of the photos you take to make them as perfect as possible. It's dealing with billions of instructions per second in this little tiny phone. I mean, the amazing power. You said more power than what got us to the moon. This little box, by the way, they compare it to a full-size notebook computer. And probably the notebook that you have and the computer that Chris has, it's almost or more powerful.
Yeah. I remember back in the mid-90s having a Dell 386 and lusting after a 486. When you think about it, 486 megs is nothing.
Yeah, and you put that on the scale that we're dealing with today. And again, Gene, what you and Chris, what you just said, it's one more reason I love being on this show with you guys, because again, putting things in that cultural perspective and also that technological perspective, which, by the way, funny anecdote, people who believe that the Earth is flat, yeah, they actually exist. They carry around these smartphones and these devices with this incredible technology, and they use that to communicate with other fellow flat earthers. think about that. Yeah, but Greer's meeting planner here, again, raises a great point. With that kind of technology capable of being carried around in your pocket, this is why I've said in the past I stopped calling them phones. The portable multifunction device that's easily accessible and can be carried in anyone's pocket, that should help us prove the kinds of paranormal phenomena for which there was only anecdotal evidence in the past, and yet we still only have the witness testimony. Very seldom do we have good photographs of said phenomena, which many would argue should be proven by now. Now, we could go down the rabbit hole and say, well, try photographing a plane at night with an iPhone, and no matter how incredible that technology is, that camera's not going to do good distance photography at night, and thus make it any easier, really, to photograph a UFO. Sure, those arguments could still be made.
The number of really decent UFO photos can be counted on the fingers of your hands.
Yeah,
there aren't that many over the years because a light in the sky is a light in the sky.
It's a daytime sighting photographic evidence that's the most compelling. Ray Stanford's collection of UFO photos, for instance, quite a number of which I'd never seen before. There are some that are just defy description, really up close to the camera. No apparent, you know, rhyme or reason of how it could have been hoaxed. We are seeing some. I have seen, I think, an uptick in fairly decent cell phone footage and photographs. But you have to kind of sift it away from all the obvious CGI hoaxes that are out there. These little balls of white light that are so simple to do in any rudimentary After Effects type program. It's getting kind of ridiculous, really, how many of these types of white glowing ball or orb hoaxes are out there. So you have to kind of, you know, separate the wheat from the chaff, I think, a little bit there. But we are seeing, I do think we are seeing an uptick in photographic evidence. It's just, you know, like I said, it's just difficult to separate it out from the obvious hoaxes.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, another point that one might make here is that concomitant with the advancements that might enable better collection of data about the so-called UFO phenomena, because I go back and forth too at times. I mean, is this really what we've long thought it is? Now, I definitely think that there's some physical craft, and we're going to talk about those here in a bit. I've actually put some notes together that I think are very easily quantifiable as the physical craft that, you know, people even like my good friend and colleague, Paul Kimball, are fairly dismissive of, but I totally understand why they're dismissive. We'll come back to that in a moment, but again, one might make the argument for the time being that as much technology as we have at our disposal that is helpful, that same technology can be used, like you said, Chris, to hoax. And thereby it actually perplexes the issue even more. It makes things more difficult.
We've got Micah Hanks and Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled M-A-G-miracle.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
rehabilitation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We never want to interrupt somebody when they're just rolling. Anyway, we have Micah Hanks joining us with Gene and Chris. Go ahead, Micah.
Absolutely. Well, again, just to reiterate that final point, the technology that is moving us forward and may eventually help us quantify certain unexplained phenomena, similar technology and advancements in the modern era are also making it more easy for hoaxers to produce information that's more difficult to discern. And so you kind of get to a point, guys like David Marler say, a UFO photograph, no matter how good it looks, is of no use to us because, again, that's just a photograph. And there are any number of hoaxes that can be created. We need good physical proof that would satisfy the physicists, the chemists.
And that's why, for instance, the San Luis Valley camera project is going to be very reliant on other forms of monitoring equipment, such as magnetometers, gravitometers, blaze gradients on analog telescopes, for instance, to separate light into its spectra, into its various constituent components. That plus magnetometer readings, radar returns, gravitational field fluctuations, that sort of thing. This is the kind of data that really impresses scientists, and it's the kind of data that gets them excited and would possibly lend itself to being reviewed, at least privately, by accredited scientific experts. So I think that is one of the avenues that really need to be further explored and expanded upon, is additional types of monitoring of hotspot areas and of so-called sighting events. So, once we start to establish that kind of data collection and we start to, create a database of actual, facts and figures, measures and numbers, measurements and numbers, then we might be able to start to make some preliminary come to some sort of preliminary answers and create at least better quality questions to ask, I think.
Well, you know, in the past, weren't there UFO researchers that did that? Vallée described a similar apparatus or system in one of his books. I know that Ray Stanford has done this kind of thing.
Well, Ray's the only one, and of course, Hans Dahlin in Norway is the other effort that has attempted to do a multi-instrumental array. Ray's Project Starlight back in the 70s was really the only one, and he's the only one, to my knowledge, that's actually gotten not only optical data, you know, but photographs and film, but also acoustic data. Gravitational and magnetic data all in a single sighting event. He's the only one that's ever been able to pull that off, to my knowledge. And I'd love to be able to, you know, to take that particular ball and keep running down the field with it. And also, we've come up with a way to shoot out an active radar signal that would be good up to about 40 miles. And with that kind of combination of scientific evidence, basically,
yeah.
It's going to be difficult to just explain it away and do a Robert Schaefer or a Michael Shermer type, you know, dismissal of it. It's going to be very, very difficult to dismiss that kind of data, especially yeah. if the evidence chain is, you know, stringently kept pristine. And then, of course, having a streaming optical signal going on at the same time and plenty of witnesses, that obviously is going to help as well.
You know, and again, this kind of equipment, I think that on a budget of about maybe $5,000, you wouldn't really need that much, but with $5,000, you could at least get decent equipment.
Well, yeah, the magnetometer and the gravitometer are going to be more expensive than that, but and the radar unit. If you put everything together, you should be able to do a triangulated array without forward-looking infrared, which is going to double the price, but you should be able to do it for about, I don't know. I mean, with really top of the line gear, you should be able to do it about 70,000.
Okay.
So figure for each, you're talking 20,000 for each of the three arrays, and then money for the base station and an all sky camera and software and that sort of thing. We do have our software dialed in now finally, and I'm just trying to get my ISP guy who owns a tower to climb the damn tower and put the camera up already. It's getting cold up there.
That's always the problem, getting the guy to climb up there and put the camera in place. But Chris, I mean, see, that's really exciting to hear that, you know, you're working to try and actually do something that, hey, for years somebody should have already done. You know, remember back in the original report on unidentified flying objects by Ruppelt, he was talking about how there had been a visual sighting that coincided with the a radiation spike. I don't remember the facility. Was that White Sands? There may be. I can't remember the facility, but he had said that there was data that actually Blue Book had looked at in relation to a visual sighting that coincided with a radiation spike, you know, as being monitored at a laboratory. So, I mean, there is some anecdotal evidence that suggests these kind of things, but I would just argue further that today, not only has technology advanced greatly since 1952 or 3, around the time that book was written, but also the miniaturization of technology and the accessibility of technology has made – you know, it's made certain things a little more. You're still talking about, like you said, a $70,000, $80,000 budget to do it right. But still, I mean, that has made things a little more accessible. And, you know, it's time we start putting these things in action. So good on you.
Well, 20 years ago, when I first, you know, kind of came up with the pie in the sky sort of what if scenario of doing this, I did cost it out, and it was around $1 million. So
yeah. There you go.
The price has come down considerably. You know, it's all in the matter of, when you're trying to get people to do stuff for nothing, as a favor, on their own time, it's very difficult to get things done. That's why I'm wondering whether we should just go ahead and do a GoFundMe type thing now, so that you hire people to do this stuff, and they can't just say no, and or when I get around to it, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm toying with the idea of actually going ahead and doing a complete funding thing right now. We've got all the business plans and, you know, everything's been cost, you know, analyzed and costed out. We've already spent thousands on the software, the motion tracking and record on motion software, which we have already now developed. And it would have been nice to have access to military, you know, tracking and targeting technology, which is about basically what we needed. But, you know, unfortunately, I don't have any contacts in the Pentagon like Mark D'Antonio and Douglas Trumbull evidently do, or, you know, contacts with NASA or national labs and stuff. So, you know, we're having to kind of reinvent the wheel a little bit, but I'm really excited. I mean, I'm sticking to it. The team is, you know, we've had fits and starts, But this is a future of hard data ufology. All this anecdotal stuff is great. I mean, there's wonderful stories and very believable accounts out there. But when you start looking at hard data that's been gathered in a scientific manner, you're moving the whole question and the whole game up to a whole new level. And it's the kind of credibility and the kind of scientific, I don't know, just legitimacy, for lack of a better word, that's, I think, going to drive this whole field forward. And that's why I'm so excited that that Ray Stanford is doing the kind of analytical work he's doing. He recently just got out of the hospital, a little Ray update, and made the announcement that evidently National Geographic is going to be featuring him in the November issue of National Geographic magazine for his, discovery, the most important find ever in paleontology, which is discovered on the grounds of Goddard Space Flight Center. They're going to do a whole article in the magazine on him. So kudos to Ray. He published a 62-page paper with Martin Lockley, the world's top dinosaur track expert. He co-authored the paper with. And now the thing is going to be on permanent display at Goddard.
Wow.
Yeah, 60 different tracks, including the first mammal and dinosaur tracks ever in the same trackway, and 60 different animals that were all featured in one single piece of rock. So it's pretty exciting.
Well, see,
no one but Ray could find something like that, believe me.
That's what I've always appreciated about Ray is, he's like myself. I'm someone who, I love the historical sciences. Archaeology is kind of a passion of mine of late, but really all the sciences. Again, the fundamental question is, we can sit around and we can be skeptical all day, or if we see that there is at least enough anecdotal evidence that seems to suggest that there may be other varieties of phenomena as yet unrecognized or at least misunderstood by science,
yeah.
Let's apply that same science to those subjects too. And Ray's always tried to do that with UFOs, as you're doing, Chris. Please keep me in the loop about that and your project, because, we being of like mind, I want to hear more about this, and I'll help any way I can.
We've got more to come with Micah Hanks and Chris O'Brien and Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled M-A-G, miracle.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Fascinating discussion here about ongoing research, the kind of research that counts in learning about paranormal events. Just to let you know, by the way, Kevin Randall's next book is going to be about Saguaro, New Mexico, where he's reviewing that as a cold case, as he has with others. And it'd be very interesting to see what he comes up with.
It will be. And one thing to finish up our conversation from the last segment, one of the things that's really important for people to understand, and it might be exciting to some people, we're coming up with a three-tiered cost, you know, in terms of cost. We're going to come up with an entry level, a mid-level, and then a sky's the limit level package so people can take the technology and the software that we've been developing and take it and put it into use in their particular region. So it's not going to be only one standalone system that we're shooting for. I mean, obviously that's where you have to begin, show viability and stuff. But once we show that it's a workable scenario, we're going to then put ourselves in a position to help others do the same thing in their regions. And do a three different levels of technology packages. So people can go ahead and set up triangular arrays in their neck of the woods and become part of the solution. I really do feel, again, that this is a major superhighway step forward in this whole realm. We may prove that the phenomenon's there's nothing to it. Who knows? Until you try and until you really make the attempt and put the blood, sweat, and energy into it, you're not going to know.
Yeah. Well, you see, it just died down. At the end of the day, let's leave that discussion here. I think it's just important for people who are following this subject not to assume we have final answers for everything. The thing that bothers me, and I'm just going to get quickly into it, is that maybe to some degree the lack of progress and possible recanting of the value of older episodes is what makes some people, and we know about that certain organization, some people decide to maybe just monetize it. And speaking of that certain person who's an executive director of a certain organization, I've been in touch with him about coming on the PowerCast to answer the questions. First, well, they had a move. The most recent response is, well, I'm really busy, and maybe you could take one of these other people. to come on the show. But that's not the point. He's the one we want. And I went back and said, when are you available? And I hope he responds in the affirmative. So, after all this, Micah Hanks, what have you been working on for the past year?
Oh, there's always something going on. Although, you know, again, this is important stuff. You know, in the back of my mind, I'm always interested in UFOs. I appreciate the questions raised on the post there at the forums.theparacast.com. And, of course, I especially appreciate the science that Chris and a few others are trying to bring to this. You know, as far as what I'm working on, it always does kind of come back to the fact that I'm what would you call a generalist? My friend Jason refers to me as a generalist. I've got a lot of different views on things. You know, one thing maybe I'd like to discuss just for a moment, if we can talk about structured craft reports and the idea of actual UFOs, because this is kind of a perennial favorite subject of mine and an ongoing area of interest of mine. And two things I want to address about that. As it relates to the kind of research I do, is some of the points that my colleague Paul Kimball raises. You know, he's been on the show recently, and in the forums there, he had put down that there may be a paranormal or supernatural component to it all, referring to UFOs. But he says, I don't see anything that even remotely indicates structured craft from an extraterrestrial source. Now, I get that. I think I agree with that almost completely, because one of the interesting things is that when you look back at a lot of these reports from over the years, you begin to see that with the structured craft reports, and people don't mistake what Paul's saying, he says nothing that even remotely indicates structured craft from an extraterrestrial source. Some of the best, you know, citing a Canadian case from up in his neck of the woods, and I was just up there with Paul actually just last month in Nova Scotia, the Michelike encounter, where Stefan Michelike comes up on what appears to be a landed craft of extremely anomalous appearance. He walks up toward it. He hears voices coming from the craft. I mean, he goes up to it. A door is sitting there. He calls out to whoever may be inside. He doesn't hear anything. They seem to stop talking. And as he approaches the door, it slams shut real quick. There's a jet of steam or something that's projected outward at him. It burns him, and then the thing takes off. There's the Father Gill case from Papua New Guinea, in which they said that they saw beings up on top of this craft that waved back at them when they waved at these things over two subsequent nights. And so, I mean, you know, in a lot of these cases where you have a pretty decent multiple witness UFO case, again, it's frustrating that there aren't now the Stefan Michelike case was not. But again, in Father Gill's case, he had a number of people there with him. It's frustrating that we have multiple witness cases and so little in the way of photographic evidence. But what they describe with these structured craft reports, to me, doesn't necessarily indicate alien beings. I mean, there's the old anecdote, you know, if it looks like a duck, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like one, you know, it's probably a duck. You could apply that to a lot of different things in terms of analogies, but a lot of the reports of UFOs that do involve good witnesses and good descriptions of structured craft also describe entities which are ambiguous at best, but could very easily be interpreted as being human. Very easily, in my opinion. And so when Paul says structured craft from an extraterrestrial source, it's very difficult to try and insinuate that the good structured craft cases do involve aliens. But people in their minds tend to kind of project that onto these cases. We even think about Travis Walton. I've met Travis. I've talked with him numerous times. But in his case, apart from the moment when he wakes up on board that craft, where he describes some beings that came into the room, and we could maybe insinuate a few things there. Maybe he was in shock. Maybe he was disoriented. From that point onward, pretty much all he describes seeing are people, humans, that he described as resembling the epitome of their gender. They were very attractive-looking people in suits, but he said they looked just like you or I. This is a common thread I've continued to see in really good UFO cases from over the years, and we seem to see fewer of those these days than we once did, which is also a bit telling. Why are there fewer good UFO reports these days that involve these structured craft? But if we really look back at the decent ones from over the years, these so-called space brothers very seldom actually represent alien beings as the Greys or whatever we, you know, culturally kind of recognize them as being these days. So, again, I think a better case, if there's a legitimacy to the physical UFOs, a better case can be made for there being probably a terrestrial component to this. And I think that that idea is probably shared by a lot of people, including Jerome Clark and Kevin Randall and people like that. One of the best instances or areas that involve structured craft where there are numerous reports that we hear of these days are these big black triangles. This is something that has continued to interest me, and I think it probably always will until our government or somebody discloses that these are ours, because I'm pretty sure by this point that they are. They're fascinating, and I've actually, again, this is the thing. I don't know how we're doing in terms of coming up on a break here, but
we have maybe 2.5 minutes.
Perfect. This is just enough time to get to a couple of reports. I've collected a lot of reports about these triangle UFOs, but to preface that, before you get into what people say that they're seeing, what interests me is that the Federation of American Scientists used to have, and it may still be available online, but I recall looking for it recently and couldn't find it, but they had a page up titled Mystery Aircraft. I'm going to give you a description of what the Federation of American Scientists had at their website in relation to one of these so-called mystery aircraft. They said a very intriguing aircraft was being reported in the late 1980s. Some observers claimed to have witnessed a vast black flying wing, estimated at being between 600 and 800 feet in width, passing silently over city streets in California. The craft moved so slowly, one observer claimed that he could jog along with it. The aircraft reportedly executed bizarre maneuvers in which it stopped, rotated in place, and hovered vertically, pointing its thin trailing edge toward the ground. This vehicle's unlikely gyrations suggest it is distinct from other sightings and could be a lighter-than-aircraft pushed by slow-turning propellers. Now, that was pretty interesting. I mean, again, we have a group like the Federation of American Scientists that are looking at this and saying, maybe some of these reports are actually legitimate, but they don't look at this and say, evidence of ET? Of course, they're not going to do that. But maybe there is a little something more in terms of legitimacy to the idea that there is some kind of unidentified aircraft operating in our skies, and there are a plethora of similar reports that continue to this day of very similar descriptions of some sort of very large, dark, possibly stealth aircraft. Some insinuate it may even be something akin to a stealth blimp.
Well, the thing here about all this is we're talking here about something that's ours. It's not paranormal. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, certainly. But I think, though, to understand the paranormal, remember what Holmes said. He says, to get to the bottom of it all, and I'm paraphrasing, you have to rule out all that is improbable or impossible, and that grain with which you are left at the end, no matter how improbable it is, must be the truth. Once you've ruled out the impossible, understanding things that are not paranormal, that's the problem. To look at something that has a conventional explanation or an earthly one and say, well, must be aliens, before really looking into it deeply and trying to understand what is at the root of this, we have to understand the knowns. And if they are unknown now, if we can apply logic and science to them and then discover what they are, well, this helps us with our toolkit. We can say we know now what that is, so we can rule that out. At the end of the day, whatever we're left with may actually be evidence of ET for all I know.
We've got more to come. What about all those early UFO-involved cases with Micah Hanks and Gene and Chris? You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.